Doctors on Air is brought to you by SYNLAB.
It's Doctors on Air with Dr. Pamela, and this morning we're talking about sexual dysfunction in men and women. Our guest doctor is Richardson Ajayi, Executive Vice Chairman, The Bridge Clinic, and Chairman SYNLAB. We also have Dr. Rufus Ojewola, Consultant Urologist Luth, and Ihioma OBB, Executive Director, Alliance for Africa. You can follow Doctors on Air on Instagram, on Doctors on Air NG, also on Twitter, at Doctors on Air underscore NG.
This month of February is a very interesting one, with Valentine's Day and the Day for World Awareness on Sexual Health and Sexual Reproductive Health. So today we'll be talking about sexual dysfunction in men and women. But first, the news.
According to a new study, people who had 10 or more sexual partners have a higher risk of being diagnosed with cancer. It was found that women with many sex partners had a double the risk of developing cancer than those who were less sexually active. Also, men had a 70% increased risk of cancer diagnosis compared to those who reported one or no sex partner. SYNLAB Nigeria has launched an anonymous STI testing across all their locations. STI testing can be done in total anonymity. You can now walk into any SYNLAB facility and request for peachy. Currently, number of cases of the novel coronavirus has risen to 73,483, while the death toll stand at 1,875. More cases confirmed in 29 other countries. The first new case has been confirmed in Africa, and that's in Egypt. Events: SYNLAB Nigeria has opened a new ultra-modern facility on the 1st of March 2020 at number 7 Durotimi Eti Street, Lekki Phase 1. The 24th of February to the 1st of March is Eating Disorder Awareness Week. And that's all on health news. Stay tuned.
Thank you for coming on the program. Can you tell us, madam, how old are you?
35.
And can you tell us how the problem started?
I think it started when I was a kid. I must have been like 8. I fell off a fence, and this metal penetrated my back. And then I was taken to the hospital because I passed out. There was a lot of blood. They healed the wound, but then there was no therapy or anything. So the pelvic area started to clench, and it's been clenched since.
And then how did it manifest as a problem for you?
I later found out that I was often constipated.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, I found out I can have sex.
Okay. We're very fortunate to have your husband in the studio with us. So can you tell us, how did you find out this was a problem and what happened about it?
Okay, so like you said, you know, we got married in December 2015, I think. I'm on a wedding night, of course. So we were going to, you know, have intercourse.
For the first time. Abstained because of what? Religion?
Yeah.
Because you're Christian.
Yes, we're Christians.
We're Christian, so.
Okay.
Yeah, so on a wedding night, we realized we couldn't. We tried, you know, and to put it in simple terms, I couldn't go in. I tried, it was painful. So, but to give you a bit of background, I had read a story maybe like a few years before then. A lady said something online about having vaginismus, how the husband was supportive and those kind of things. And I read a story, I researched about the vaginismus, and I thought, I'd like to be that guy. That's a good guy. I didn't know that I was talking to myself some years, you know, from then. So, of course, to go back to our own story. So when we couldn't, we tried again. The story kept flashing back in my head. So I thought, okay, let's go see a doctor. So we went to a gynae. Then the gynae introduced us to a specialist. Then, you know, we went through a series of therapy and exercises and different things. So it took us like, you know, like 6 months or so. And I remember maybe the 6th month thereabouts, that was when we could actually, for the first time, I could say I could penetrate. Although I couldn't move, but it was like
a high five moment.
Yeah, high five moment. Yeah, it was.
Okay. And then after that?
I think that for that period where we had to learn about each other again and learn about our bodies, especially hers. So now, and for the past 3 years, it's been, because we know the exercises to do. So, you know, we prep ourselves and we keep doing it. And it's been, I could say, easy. much, much easier than it was 3 years ago.
And so the physical therapy was really what made the difference for you.
Yes, and sorry to add, I noticed that maybe because the process, it didn't require some extra thing like medication or anything. It was easy to do, like I could just do it in the evenings knowing that, okay, I'm going to have sex tonight. Let me just do this again. I mean, over time, it got easier, but at least the pain is gone. And
you have a fantastic relationship.
Yes, we do.
And that's wonderful. And it's wonderful to see. And I'm very happy about it.
Thank you.
So thank you very much for sharing. So can I ask, if there are any words you could say to somebody who's listening who may have a similar problem, but it's too embarrassed to seek help about it? I mean, actually, what made you have the courage to go out and seek help? Because it's something that a lot of people would lock themselves away and not talk about.
I think it was helpful when at first I talked to my mom about it. She got worried and said, don't worry, I'll pray about it. Solution of every Christian mother. Then I talked to my sister about it, who has been married for like 20 years. And she said, I don't know, just keep trying. And then she offered me lubricant, but it didn't work. And I didn't want to go to the hospital. I didn't want to see somebody. I thought, why would I fail at this? It's such a little thing. And then one day he said, I told you I read something. Let's just go to the hospital. I guess it helps when there's somebody there to support you to do the right thing, I guess.
That's important. So really, you're encouraging others to go
yes,
to the hospital
please. Yes, please.
And not stay
at
home.
It's not a stigma. It's not, you did not fail. It's a muscle. It's like learning to run. You need to learn to walk first. And I mean, I just had to admit, I don't know how to walk before I could run.
And it's now you're running.
Not spiritual, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good morning, Dr. Ajay. It's good to have you back on the program. That was a very interesting experience that our guest has actually had. But it's very interesting because a lot of people recognize sexual dysfunction in men. It's common, it's commonly spoken about. But in women, it isn't. Can you tell us and explain to us why that happened in a woman?
Thank you very much, Dr. Pamela. It's a pleasure to be back here. I haven't been here for quite a while. So thank you very much for inviting me. Well, sexual dysfunction in women is amazingly very common. It's thought to occur in up to 30% of women. But it's not something that is frequently, you know, spoken about. So it tends to be, you know, it tends to be under the cover, if you like. It can manifest or be caused by different things. I mean, it could be difficulty with sort of desire for sex. It could be difficulty with arousal. It would be difficulty or painful intercourse. It could be inability to get orgasm. These are all, you know, issues with sex. Now, with the lady that we listened to, I mean, you know, obviously she had a physical injury that caused some kind of neurological effect on her pelvis, but you can't separate that from the psychological. So, I mean, there are physical and psychological causes, and I think the psychological aspects actually a lot more common than the physical. So, in her case, obviously there was a physical approach to treating the vaginismus, and that was effective. But I think, you know, the psychological aspect, and she had a very supportive husband, which I think is important, because obviously with a very supportive husband with her, I think that makes it easier to go through that experience. But it's amazingly common, though.
Now, talking about sexual dysfunction in men, what kind of issues do we have with sexual dysfunction with men?
Yeah, sexual dysfunction in men is actually a very common phenomenon. And it's actually talked about much more in men than in women, because it's an important part of quality of life in men. So it is said that about more than half of men after the age of 40 years, we actually experience certain degrees of sexual dysfunctions. And this varies from problems with ejaculation, premature ejaculation, inability to have a good erection for penetration and satisfactory sexual intercourse, orgasm problems, and many other problems. So it's something that is so common, and it has a worldwide distribution. As it is in Nigeria, it's also very prevalent in other parts of the world. I will not go into the causes now, but I think we'll talk about that later. But it's a problem.
No, please talk about causes if you...
Oh, generally speaking, there are two categories of etiologies or causes of erectile dysfunction. One is organic, that is a physical problems in the neurons, arteries and veins and the cavernous tissues that are responsible for for erection. And secondly, psychological. And we have a third type which could be missed. Talking about organic causes, it could be problems that has to do with the brain or the spinal cord. It could be the problem with the arteries, and it could be the problem with the erectile tissue. Because erection in men is a complex mechanism involving the central nervous system, the autonomic nervous system, and also the arterial inflow and venous blockage. So if there is problem in any of this, ranging from problems in the brain, problems in the spinal cord, problems with the arteries in the pelvic region, supplying the penis, and of course, problem with the organ itself, I mean the erectile tissues of the penis. These are various causes of organic problems that can lead to sexual dysfunction. But as said earlier by Dr. Ajayi, psychological causes are quite common too. This includes anxiety, particularly anxiety with failed performance in the time past, sexual abuse in the time past, relationship problems, strains in relationship, lack of intimacy, and other psychological disturbances. So these are common causes of erectile dysfunctions in men. And in few cases, it could be mixed, combining organic and psychological causes. So this is just a panoramic view of causes of erectile dysfunction in men.
It's not just about sexual health, is it? It's also about the general health of a person, because as a human being, sexual health is a natural part of one's health, but it's something we don't talk about. What impact do you think sexual dysfunction in men and women is having on our society?
Its impact is actually quite wide, especially if it's happening whilst you're young. So for some of our clients that come into the office, we see a lot of young women and men that come in. But the women, because we're an organization that deals around issues of sexual health and reproductive health, we get a lot more women coming in. So Dr. Ajayi was right in mentioning the psychological, because we find that for many of the women that come in, it's actually a psychological impact on a trauma that happened whilst they were minors in the custody or care of a guardian. So you're a major impact. And because we have unreported and undocumented percentages of sexual abuse and sexual violations of minors, we've never really statistically looked at the impact it has as they become teenagers, young adults, etc. So we see a lot of that. We see a lot of women who, because of the culture around faith, religion, they are told to close their legs. But they close their legs and then they get into a relationship, they get married, and on the night they have no clue what they're supposed to be doing because the body is not working and the mind is not working as it should. So, and these are issues that we've never really addressed as a society and as a culture, because there's a lot of emphasis on the boys sowing their oats, but the girls keeping their legs closed.
I think the other real issue, of course, is our general societal attitude to sex. It's not something we talk about. So a lot of people grow up without really any information. And the truth is, from a medical point of view, the physical aspects are the things we talk about, and that's quite easy to treat. But the psychological side is much more important. Even for a woman without any sexual dysfunction, I mean, if the man does not approach with care and gentleness and compassion, then sex is not as effective. So there's a very strong emotional aspect to sex that we tend to overlook. And I think from a medical point of view, in terms of how we approach these issues, Yeah, the physical is important. We need to exclude physical, but we need to focus a lot more on the psychological aspects and the emotional development of the couple to ensure that they can have satisfactory sex.
But I think I should also add here that also some of the practices we have are also a problem. So our practice of female genital mutilation is a serious hindrance and a cause. So whilst it has a physical problem, there's also a mental problem. And then the other issues of douching the vagina, this myth of trying to keep it clean. The vagina cleans itself. It doesn't need any extra to clean itself. So all of these are problems, especially if it's overdone. And then the other issue of not going to the doctor when your vagina is itching or has a smell. You know, simple things, very minor things that escalate when not treated. So these are all problems that can cause other issues. And these are things that we need to think about and talk about as a society.
How well do you know your numbers?
The choices you make today could determine the future.
Your numbers tell if your blood pressure is high or your blood sugar level is stable or not, even your cholesterol balance.
Regular tests is very important. However, if you don't know your numbers,
get tested today by visiting your doctor, clinic, or simply call
0700-728-42273 or stop by at any Syn Lab, well-renowned for synergies in laboratory.
With Happy Cover from Leadway Assurance, you'll be covered for, well, almost anything.
Vivian, your ankle is bandaged. What happened?
I was on my morning jog when I was almost run over. I twisted my ankle diving out of the way.
That is unbelievable. Was everyone all right?
Everyone was more than all right. Luckily, I have Happy Cover and so did everyone else.
Live happy with Leadway's household automobile personal accident policy. One premium, multiple cover. SMS happy to 22865 or email happy at leadway.com for more details. Leadway Assurance, ensuring happiness since 1970.
Doctors on Air is brought to you by Syn Lab.
You are listening to Doctors on Air with Dr. Pamela, and topic is sexual dysfunction in men and women. Over to you, Dr. Pamela.
We have so many questions that have come in now. A question asks, I have problems not getting an erection, but in actually performing with my woman. Why is this?
I think there's actually a big problem today. I mean, one of it is lack of sexual education at home or in schools. And the other side of it is inappropriate education with the access to pornography. So pornography really is out there and everybody has access to it. And so people have a misunderstanding of what normal sex is all about. And this really creates a lot of expectations in couples not knowing what is normal. So things like premature ejaculation. From a urological point of view, I'm sure when you take histories from a lot of the people, you find out they actually don't have a problem. But yes, there is a medical condition. But, what do you think, doctor?
Yeah, it's actually true that many people that actually claim to have premature ejaculation do actually not have. It's actually as a result of expectations and what the partners expect of them or what they have gathered over the internet, audiovisuals and other stuff. What we call premature ejaculation is actually there is no standard definition to it, because what a man calls premature ejaculation may not be premature ejaculation to another, and is the inability of a man to maintain the erection for as long as he wants when the sexual intercourse is going on. For some people, a minute is enough for them and they never complained about. For some people, until they go like 10 minutes. So it depends on the expectations of each individual. So, however, is a very, very common problem that we treat now.
But it's also, women take a long time to orgasm.
Yeah.
And sometimes the man feels that because he can't sustain an erection before the woman orgasms, then he has premature ejaculation. And these are things that, I don't know what your views are.
Yeah, in fact, in my practice, really, it's actually women that prompted their husbands to come to the hospital for treatment. Just like Dr. Ajayi said, men reach orgasms much earlier than a woman. So we found out that in about 20 to 40% of men, they have reached orgasm before their wives. So their wives are not satisfied. and they are the one that push them to come for solution. And of course, we have some treatments that we offer them in situations like this.
Okay.
A lot of the customers that come into our office, the young people, are young men who actually watch too much pornography. And as Dr. Jai says, they watch so much pornography, they actually do not understand how their bodies work and the expectations of them. So I think it's important at some point that we begin to revisit sexual health education for our young adults, because they're getting the education elsewhere.
From social media and
yes,
other places.
They're getting it elsewhere, and so it's really not appropriate because it's not the best.
Okay, now another question we have here says, can stress cause erectile dysfunction?
Yes.
It's a big cause. I mean, in our infertility practice, I mean, one of the things that you see couples are trying to time intercourse so that they can get pregnant. And this puts a lot of performance expectation on the man. And so they come to clinic and you find they're actually not able to have intercourse because of the stress that causes, not to talk of the kind of stress you have living in Lagos doing a very heavy job. So stress is a very important cause of sexual dysfunction.
Stress generally in men is a known cause of erectile dysfunction, and it cuts across all forms of stresses, physical stress, psychological stress. So anything whatsoever that stresses a man psychologically will lead to erectile or sexual dysfunction. So this ranges from relationship stress, stress related to work, stress related to even finances. These are things that are very important, and they have to be optimal before a man can be able to have a satisfactory sexual life.
Well, that's very, very interesting.
Yeah, I think another factor is stress and how it manifests in women who are going through the menopause also affects their ability to engage sexually and enjoy sex. So you're looking at issues of dry vagina, etc., etc. All of them are factors that affect women at a particular stage in life going through the menopause. That's something that we mustn't forget, because it is out there and there's a large section of women that are having those issues.
Now, we have other questions that actually need to be addressed, and I know time is short. But one gentleman said, in marriage, he said, why does it seem that we used to have a lot of sex when we were not married and it was illegal? Now we have a license to do it. It doesn't seem to be happening as frequently. So an issue in terms of frequency of sexual intercourse in marriage, what's the problem? Why does it happen?
Dr. Ajayi said something, and the other doctor said something, work. Life takes over. You are now married. You've got bills to pay. You probably have one or two children. Remember, Nigerians get married and within 9 months they've got a baby. So they haven't really learned themselves, learned their bodies, learned to live with themselves together as partners, and they have kids. And when you have, and they don't have one kid, they have them like a stepladder, you know, like one, two together. So there's no time for anybody.
Because you moved from a single, young, free and single, having
absolutely
fun, to marriage. And marriage is a job.
It's a job. It's really, really difficult.
But in addition to all of this, generally speaking, sexual function decreases with age. So men are not as active as they are when they are 50, when they are 60. The more they age, the less their sexual function. So aging process is another thing that may be contributory to reduction in sexual performances in marriages.
Another question that came through is, my problem started when I started treatment for hypertension. Could this be a cause?
Yes. There are what we call drug-induced sexual dysfunction or erectile dysfunction. Quite a number of drugs can actually cause or increase the risk of developing erectile dysfunction. Some drugs, antihypertensive, have been proven to actually cause erectile dysfunction. Some other drugs like antipsychotics, antidepressants, drugs that we use in the treatment of benign prostatic hyperplasia, drugs that we use in the treatment of prostate cancer, and of course, psychotropic drugs like hard drugs generally, alcohols. These are active agents that have been proven to actually cause erectile dysfunction?
Now, unfortunately, time is gone. There's so many questions. There's so much to talk about, but it's just not possible to cover it all. You know, wrap up. We just want to know about treatment. Is there really treatment for people? Is there hope? Can all of these conditions be managed?
Yeah, erectile dysfunction or sexual dysfunction is a diagnosis, and of course there are treatments available for it. The most important is actually to know what is responsible for it. As we said earlier, is it psychological? Is it organic? So if we know what the cause is, then we give appropriate treatment.
And the same thing for women, of course. Once you make a diagnosis, exclude physical causes, then it can be treated. And what is most important for women is a very supportive husband. Being with them as they go through the journey.
Okay.
Dr. Ajayi has said it all, so there's no need to do that anymore.
No, I just want to ask the last question as we wrap up and do our last words for our listeners. Can any of these things be prevented?
Yes, I think so. Stress can be prevented. Losing weight, managing your menopause, things like that can be prevented and managed.
Yeah, I think more very important is education. Making sure people understand sex, making sure the husband understands sex. And I think, you know, a lot of that will go a long way towards preventing these issues.
In addition to that, there are some medical conditions that predisposes to sexual dysfunction. One of them is diabetes mellitus, another is hypertension. So a good control of these two conditions will go a long way to prevent or delay the onset of erectile dysfunction.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for being a part of the show this morning. And that's it. We get to do this again next week. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Today's show is sponsored by Leadway Assurance and Sin Lab, well-renowned for synergies in laboratories. If you missed the last broadcast or other archive episodes, then not to worry, as you can listen to the podcast on www.doctorsonair.com and get your health answers. You can also join the online community on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at DoctorsOnAirNG. For more information on our range of tests, please call the customer care on 01454 6160.